Creating profit and wealth can be a mindset game for a lot of entrepreneurs. So today, I'm going to break through an insidious habit that causes a lot of celebrities, millionaires, and even everyday people who are making big money, it causes them to struggle to make ends meet. So let's dig into episode 5.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey everyone, Melanie here. I am so excited to share today's podcast episode with you. And it's because it's a little bit different than usual. Now, from time to time, I will be bringing on clients and other colleagues of mine who want a breakthrough around money and success, and they're ready to amplify. But today, I want to spotlight something that happened last month with a client of mine. Now, each month I host a live money and mindset mastery call for my clients in all my different programs. And this last month, one of my clients brought up something that I know a lot of people struggle with. So I tackled a success barrier that tends to plague not just her, but tons of smart, savvy entrepreneurs. Now, think of it like this. You're going to be eavesdropping in on a very powerful coaching session with her permission, and you get to have the same breakthrough. Now, let me set up what you're going to hear next. My coaching conversation is with a client. Her name is Joanna Vargas, and she's the founder of BadassChicksRock.com. And let me tell you, Joanna is a total badass. She is somebody who is really an up-and-comer and creating all kinds of amazing things. She's founded several companies, including a fitness center and Badass Productions, which puts on live events, concerts, and cruises in the Los Angeles area. Now, as we start this conversation, I asked Joanna to share what her celebration was for the previous 12 months. And you're going to hear how a mindset shift we worked on before helped her move beyond fear and take some action that got 5,000 people at her concert last September. And this badass, Joanna, like many amazing entrepreneurs, had another money habit surface that was causing her some financial stress. She makes really good money, but somehow all the money was disappearing quickly, way too quickly. And she wanted to know how she could shift not just her mindset, but her behaviors so that she can actually create sustainable, profitable wealth. It's a great episode. So let's listen in now.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
Miss you.
I know. It's been far too long.
Yeah. Oh, so
what are we celebrating from last year?
A lot of business celebrations, like actually doing certain things. But overall, my biggest celebration is really learning how to slow down. But then what I'm learning is not to binge, slow down. So that's my biggest takeaway from this year, from 2006. But I'm proud of myself because I'm taking steps forward. You know, so that's my biggest celebration.
And can we like just celebrate the rabbit you pulled out of the hat with your big event and like not sure how it was all going to work out? And at the, you know, kind of in the last hour, it all came together and you made your numbers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was tremendous and extraordinary. And it was beautiful to watch you go through all those levels of emotion. And in the end, you nailed it, and you were mm-hmm. you really had a significant growth from that.
Thank you. Yeah, and you had a lot to play with that too, and magic came together, you know. But mm-hmm. with a lot of strategic planning on that, of mindset, strategic mind.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
So many lessons and takeaways and celebrations from this year. It's like, oh my gosh, endless. But one thing that I'm working with today, and it was like, just hit me, and I almost felt like I wanted to vomit because it just, I know it, but like I really knew it today. When I get a surge of income, I become ravenous and I just start spending. And I've always known this, but it was different today. And where I just, it's like I think I'm J-Lo something and I just have all this money and I just start treating people and I think I'm like really, really rich. and I overspend, and then people around me, because then I started to be aware, like, what is this? Why do I do it? Because I want to portray that I have a lot of money. And I want to believe and know it, and which I do. And then when I look at the account, I'm like, what the heck did I buy? I don't even know. I was subconscious when I was purchasing it. I had no idea about the total. So I'm in the middle of like where I want to believe and give the money and feel good about it, but then yet not be subconscious about it.
So this is big. Thank you for bringing it in, because, you know, it's interesting. Everybody has little quirks about their relationship with money. And so, first of all, when you're in this act of what I call overspending, you know, is like this using money to feel more important or more valued, right? Mm-hmm. Is it I want to feel better about myself, or that I'm more important? You know, like, are you trying to create like a celebrity luxury experience to fit in or to be seen in a certain way? Is that it at all? Or, because there's a couple, three versions of this. I just want to see which one it is.
No, that one doesn't feel right.
Okay. Mm-mm. And then there's the kind of starvation syndrome where, you know, we feel starved and it's like, I'm so tired or struggling. And then you get a little money and you're like, okay, I can breathe. Let me do this stuff. I got to catch up with the things that are important to me. And then that's where the overspending comes from.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
what was the third one though?
The third one is more of it's kind of like a real ego trip level. It's like, it's kind of like you buy your way into importance. And I guess there's a fourth version of it too. And that is, it's kind of just there's a type of person who they don't want to have to think about money. And so when they have it, they just spend it. And it's like, it's almost like the unconscious state is financial struggle. So when they have money, they have to get rid of it in order to get back to what feels normal to them.
I think it's number two and four together.
Yeah. So you remember our conversation about financial reserves?
Yes.
So I want to just take you to the end. And the end, the way to shift this is to commit to creating your own personal financial reserves. And
I know.
The financial reserve is like your way to always feel like you have money, but you don't have to necessarily spend it, right? And it changes our psychological makeup because we always have money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the end. That's kind of like what we're shooting for. I want to just really quick teach something that I learned many years ago, and it's called the bucket philosophy. When people feel starved for money and like kind of go into a state of constriction, like, I can't buy that for myself, I can't do that for myself, I really want that, but I don't, I can't. What happens is when they do get money, it's like it evaporates overnight because we're catching up with all the things we want for our lives to feel normal. So you have to come up with a way to always have a kind of a bucket of money that you can spend on things that are important to you that feel frivolous, but you have to stay inside that budget. So the idea is this.
Mm-hmm.
There's five buckets. There's, life needs. This is what I have to spend every month just to cover my nut. And so if you apply that to business, it's like your business needs, right? It's like my team. Mm-hmm. It's my rent. It's, you know, all the things that you have to pay for. Then there's the next bucket is, it's been a while since I thought about these buckets. I'm trying to remember what the second bucket is. So basically it's must have, and the second one is kind of like the discretionary spending. It's the things that, you know, kind of ebb and flow. So it could be like eating out. It could be clothing. It could be, you know, how much, you know, self-care stuff you do. So the second bucket is more like your discretionary spending. Still has to happen every month. It's how much of it you can do. The third bucket is what they call like short-term savings. It's things that you need and you're putting money aside for.
Okay.
And the fourth bucket is the long-term savings. This is where your financial reserves get built.
Okay.
Actually, three and four are a combination become your financial reserves, but the idea is number four you never touch. That's your investment bucket. That's the money you put aside for the future. And the idea is to never touch it. The third bucket is short-term, where it ebbs and flows. You use it as you need it. And three and four become your financial reserves. And then the fifth bucket is what we call the play fund. And the play fund is literally there for you to play with. Whatever's in the play fund, you get to play with. And so rather than constricting ourselves and trying to be disciplined and, you know, do all the right things, and then we have no way to just be frivolous and be in the moment, the play fund becomes the, if it's in the play fund, I can play with it. If it's not in the play fund, there's no play. So you get to decide how you use that. And so the when you get money in the door, the way it's supposed to be bracketed is you technically somewhere around, say like 60%, some people are more, but around 60% is your big nut, right? It's like, this is what I have to cover. Some people are down at 50%. So you have to figure out what is it, what is my percentage of what I bring in? And then you, the play fund is usually 10%.
Okay.
The long-term savings is 10%. And then the other two you divvy up with you know, the rest. So it should be at least 10%. So okay. Your four buckets are 10, 10, 10. The main bucket is usually 60%.
Okay.
Now, the reason why this works is because two things happen. One, psychologically, you can start to say, is my monthly nut more than the 60%? Really? Mm-hmm. Like, is this really, this is, do I really need that, right? And you start to look at what is my monthly nut and why is it more or why is it less than what it really could be and should be to sustain myself properly. And then the reserve, this is how I build reserves. When I get like, when I do a big event or I do a big promotion or I have new clients coming on board, I usually take 10% of that, and it immediately goes in the reserve account.
Okay.
And that is there for the cash flow ebb, you know, it's like the cash flow goes up, I put the money in. If we have down months and we're like, okay, well, we weren't planning on that being such a bad month, I know that cushion is there, and I can take from it any time I need. The play fund is always being built all the time. If you get a lot of unexpected money, you just divvy that up, you know, 10, 10, 10, 10 across the different categories, and you know it's always there for you. So you can finesse these percentages a little bit. Like you may want to do 50% for your nut, 20% for the, you know, the ebb and flow of your discretionary spending. Like you can play with it a little bit. But just knowing that these are your life sources and that it's okay to have each of these accounts, so to speak, these buckets of money that you should be spending every month, especially if the, I starve myself financially and then I go blow a bunch of money. You're like, I have 10% to play with and to be frivolous and to treat people. And that's okay. I can do whatever I want with that, but I'm not going to spend 40% on the frivolous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So does that make sense in terms of a rhythm that could be created with your financial flow?
Completely makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I'm going to draw a whole thing and put it up so I could see it every day to remind myself. And I know where the resistance is.
Where's the resistance?
I have a belief that people that save money are geeks, nerds, and they're boring.
They're safe.
They're safe, and I hate people like that.
Mm-hmm. What did you make that mean, that somebody is safe and boring, and what does that mean to you?
It means that they're going to die bored. Lame.
Yeah, without living life?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really bothers me.
Why does somebody have to be, to not live life in order to be, have financial security? How do those two things go together?
I guess it's the belief. So I keep meeting people that sustain that belief.
Mm. Yeah.
That when they save money and, or, you know, they want to divvy up the check and they're at the restaurant with the calculator, divvying it up. I'm so annoyed. I'm like, here's my credit card. Just go, shut up. Just, you're getting on my nerves. Just, I'll pay for the whole thing just because I can't stand you dividing it.
Right. Because that means what?
It means they're unhappy. It means that they're lame.
Yeah.
I don't want to be lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they're wasting time. So I just saved 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's that impatience in you, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when you're impatient, you need to fix it because you'd rather be in motion, regardless of the cost, than be in the moment and just let people figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I do it sometimes. I let them figure it out. And then when I walk away, I feel cheap because I only paid for my amount. And I'm like, I should always put an extra $5 or tip higher or something like that.
Yeah. So when you were a little girl, who gave you that imprint of that belief system?
I'd say my mom.
Yeah.
People that were cheap. You know, she was just like, here, I'll pay for it. It's all good. Just fine. Stop fighting or whatever here. And then when people are like, cool, I saw that a lot. Also, I was raised with very poor. My friends were very poor. And we were pretty poor too, but compared to them, they were really poor, like on welfare and things like that. So they always called us rich. So I grew up really thinking we were rich, even though we weren't, but I didn't know any different. So I still think I'm rich.
Yeah. Well, you know, rich doesn't always mean money, right? Like, rich is a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because I actually grew up that way, too. We were the richest people in our neighborhood, even though we weren't really rich.
Yeah.
But everybody had that perception. And that was as a young child. And I went from that to my mom being a single mom, and literally we were on the borderline of poverty. And like having this massive contrast. And so what happens, I think, is that there's this feeling of losing that ability to feel valued and important and in control. And there's something for you about what happens when you're in control. And one of the ways that you can be in control is to take ownership of the financial.
It's gonna be some work.
Yeah. So I would do some writing on this with the with a clarity of what do you want? Do you want to be creating more wealth? Like, do you want to be able to create sustainable wealth? And so there's an exercise I want to give you. It's very powerful. I may have shared this with you before, but I want to give it to you again. It's called there's like these four quadrants. And what we do is we take two ideas that feel like they're opposing each other and can't coexist and break them up. So what we do, so do you want to do this exercise to break it through?
Yeah.
So make a quadrant.
Okay.
In the top right, you write, in order for me to create sustainable wealth and live a fun life, I would, and then write whatever comes up for you. I would have to believe this, or I would have to do this, or I would have to whatever, right? So just write and write and write about whatever comes up.
Okay.
Then directly across from a catty corner.
Okay.
In order for me to not be wealthy and live a fun life, I would have to. Then top left, in order for me to be wealthy and not have a fun life, I would.
Oh, wait, one more time, Melanie.
In order for me to be wealthy and not have a fun life,
okay,
I would.
Okay.
And then bottom right,
mm-hmm,
in order for me to not be wealthy and not have a fun life, I would.
Okay.
And I want you to give yourself a minimum of an hour to do the writing exercise. Because there's some deep beliefs and some stuff underneath there. And what I want to do is I want you to get clear on what are you projecting about yourself and the world that's actually holding you back from being the most expansive version of yourself.
Yeah.
And I also am going to give you one more assignment.
Okay.
In the new year, just so everybody knows, I am launching a mastermind, and this is one of the books you're going to get for those of you that want to be in the mastermind. It's going to be launching mid-February, so we can talk about that if anybody's interested in it. But what I want for you to do now is I want you to get the book called Profit First.
I got it, Melanie. Got it. Started reading it.
Read it. Read it. Read it over the holiday. I'm having all of my clients who do the next level of work with me read this book. I wish I would have wrote the book because it's everything I teach about it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is exactly what I teach. So it's perfect. And it is going to help illuminate a lot for you around this.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Good
okay,
stuff.
This is good. Yeah, this is my new little step I'm working
yay
on.
Yay.
Perfect.
By
yeah
the end of 2017, I see
okay
you're going to have a massive breakthrough in your sustainable
mm-hmm
wealth strategy.
Mm-hmm. I feel it too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it. Okay. Yeah, that's my
okay
theme for quarter one. Profit first.
Good.
Profit
okay
first.
No I love
more
it.
Okay. Thanks,
thank
Melanie.
You.
Appreciate
okay
it. Bye.
So what'd you think? Great breakthrough. Even if you don't struggle with what Joanna's struggling with, I bet you picked up a lot of insights and some breakthrough mindsets that can serve you well too. Now, Joanna's going live this year with her brand new Badass Chicks brand, so be sure to check her out and watch her at badasschicksrock.com. She does some amazing things and she's got some great stuff in store, so you're going to want to follow along. Now, let me check in with you. I'm wondering if you related all to what Joanna shared with her money story and how her money habits were actually sabotaging her wealth. And if you don't relate to that, but you know maybe you have some limiting beliefs or fears about money and success, or maybe even some habits that are sabotaging your financial well-being, let me share with you a resource for today that you will want to get right away. It's a copy of my digital book, Rewired for Wealth, how you can rewire your mind and your habits to create effortless success. You can get it at rewiredforwealth.com. That's all for today. But before you go, would you do me a huge favor? If you're loving this show and it's rocking it for you and you're looking forward to more shows, subscribe at iTunes if you haven't already. And would you give me a little shout out? Let me know what episode you've loved the most. Maybe give us a rating. It sure helps a bunch with the iTunes crowd to help us get found by more really awesome entrepreneurs who want to amplify their impact and their income. All right, we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.